God's word today comes from Luke chapter 23. Before I begin, can I ask someone to bring me water? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, before I came, I slept like a couple hours. I was really tired. Maybe because of that, I'm kind of thirsty, so. Luke chapter 23, we will read from verse 44 all the way down to verse 49. This is the reading of God's word. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. Because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the woman who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word, so that our faith will grow, that we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what your Son has done and what he has accomplished, and let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Through your word, let us have fellowship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with me as I preach your word, that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly. And be with all of us who are hearing your word, so that we may understand, that we may believe, that we may obey, to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Time really flies. I started this series. We've been looking at the seven sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Today we come to the last one. Let us remind ourselves of the first six sayings briefly. First, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." In his death on the cross, his death on the cross is for the forgiveness of our sins. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, at the Last Supper, he said, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." By dying on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ is paying for our sins, for the wage of sin is death. And because of his death for us, God forgives our sins and does not even remember them any longer. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. The second saying, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Our salvation is salvation from sin and from Satan and from this world. And we have been delivered unto eternal life and unto God and into heaven, our eternal home. The third saying, "Woman, behold your son, behold your mother." In Jesus Christ, we have become one family of God, one family of heaven, The fourth saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ has received the eternal judgment of God for us in our places. Thus, there is no longer judgment of God for us who are in Jesus Christ. The fifth saying, I am thirsty. We have received the salvation of God that completely, perfectly quenched our spiritual thirst. We have perfect, eternal, sweet fellowship with God. No more thirst in heaven. Only complete and perfect satisfaction. And the sixth saying, it is finished. Our salvation is complete and perfect. It is truly finished, truly accomplished perfectly by our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing we have to add. It is truly finished. Now we come to the last thing. We begin by looking at what happened right before he says this seventh saying. Luke chapter 23, verse 44 and 45. It was now about sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured. The sixth hour, which means 12 at noon. From 12 at noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness fell over the whole land. What's the picture there? The darkness. It is a picture of what is the opposite of creation. Decreation, if you will. It is the opposite of what we see in Genesis chapter 1. There God said, let there be light. We see from darkness to light in Genesis, but here we see the opposite, from light to darkness. It is a picture of God's judgment. When Jesus returns to judge this world, it will be decreation. In the book of Exodus, we see the 10 plagues that God brought to Egypt. Those plagues were symbols of God's judgment, and one of those plagues was darkness that fell upon Egypt. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9 through 11, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel and fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate his sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abuse the haughtiness of the ruthless. But Jesus is sinless. Why is the judgment of God being poured down to Jesus? Because he's bearing our sins. Joel chapter 2 verse 31, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 15, a day of wrath is that day, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. We see the similar thing in Revelation chapter 6. It shows the final judgment of God is being poured upon Jesus Christ for our sins. From the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, we learn that there was also an earthquake, and the rocks split into pieces, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Exactly the things that is said to happen in the end. Do you see the picture of the final judgment in what is happening to Jesus Christ? What Jesus is receiving on the cross is the last and the final judgment of God. He's receiving it for us. He's receiving it in our places. As far as we are concerned, the final judgment of God has already happened. The eternal wrath of eternal God is being poured upon our Lord on the cross. Do you see God judging you in Jesus Christ? God has already judged us in Jesus Christ. Thus Jesus says in John chapter 5 verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." So even as we wait for his return, only thing we expect is his blessings, eternal blessings of heaven, because the judgment has already happened. But only for all of us who are in Jesus Christ. Verse 45b says, "And the veil of the temple was torn in two." We have already seen what this means, so let me just briefly remind us. The veil which was in between the holies and the holy of holies in the temple was torn in two. The Holy of Holies obviously pointing to heaven. Thus, as veil is torn, we see a picture of the gate of heaven being opened. We saw a picture of that same gate being closed when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden when they have sinned. But according to Hebrews, the veil points to the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the blood and the torn body of our Lord Jesus Christ, we enter heaven. At the time, the priests were offering incense to God in the front of that veil, preparing for Passover. There was a different high priest, the true high priest, at the true heavenly temple, sacrificing the perfect sacrifice himself to God for his people's sin. Thus, nothing blocks us to enter heaven. Now we come to the seventh saying, verse 46, "And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last." This is from Psalm 31, verse 5. "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth." We see that to the end, Jesus trusts his Father, and he entrusts himself completely to his Father. Until that time, he was given to the hands of sinners, but now he is entrusting himself into the hands of the Father. It was his delight to do the will of his Father, even if it meant death. John chapter 5, verse 30, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. His food is to do the will of God. That's how he survives. By doing the will of God. Even to the point of death, he commits all to his Father. This is the life of the righteous. Yes, we see in verse 47, the centurion, seeing what had happened, began praising God, saying, certainly this man was innocent, righteous. Yes, he is right in saying that. How about you? Is Jesus Christ righteous? He is righteous. Then the next question is, then why is he dying on the cross? Why is he receiving God's judgment if he is righteous? Because of our sins. He is the righteous God and man, and he is dying for our sins. The Father, we know, will receive Jesus with open arms. From this, we know that all the things that Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us are pleasing to the Father. They are perfect and complete. If there is anything wrong in what Jesus has done, even if Jesus says this to his Father, Father will not receive him. The fact that Father receives Jesus Christ, it is very clear, everything that he has done, Father is very pleased with. Everything that he has done for you and me, Father accepts with joy. All that he had done in our places, all that he has done instead of us, all that he has done for us are received and approved by God the Father. Thus, you and I who trust Jesus Christ for God's salvation are able to have the confidence in our salvation. God the Father received and approved all that Jesus has done for us. Thus, in Jesus Christ, the Father receives and approves us who are in him. As we see, as we hear the seventh saying, we also see that our Lord Jesus Christ has redefined what it means to be victorious, what it means to be defeated. The cross for the world is a complete defeat. But we see the victorious Lord on the cross. To understand the gospel is to understand that the cross is victory. He triumphs over all temptations and sins. He perfectly fulfills the will of God. That is the true victory. Even as you die in the hands of people to do God's will, that's the victory. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What else do we see from this? We see that death is not the end. We have a place to go. We go to our eternal Father. Oh, brothers and sisters, this world is not everything. There's another world. There is heaven. Death is not the end. Jesus Christ clearly shows us, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Death is actually the beginning. Beginning of being with God face to face. This is what our life is all about. To see our God face to face. To be with Him. And live with Him forever and ever. That life has already begun in Jesus Christ spiritually. After death, there is God who receives us with open arms. We too die with the same words as we die. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. There is God who loves our spirits, who loves us. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you have been invited by God to this very life. I give you an example, Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, Behold, I see the heavens open up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice, and covered their ears, and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. Do you see it? Stephen says the same thing that the Lord cried out on the cross. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And also he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we are invited by God to participate in the life of Christ. In the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. In death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to be conformed to his death. And it is our desire also. Entrust your life to our God. He loves you and he receives you with open arms in Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This is your life right now. This is how you live your life right now in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he who is able to guard what I have entrusted him until that day. We have entrusted our lives to our God. As you come to his table tonight, come saying to him, My Father, into your hands I commit my life. We trust our God and our God alone for our salvation. Only God saves us. Come to him in Jesus Christ, and he will. And he does always receive you with open arms. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that it is such joy to trust you. It's such a joy to entrust our lives to you. It is joy to depend on you. Oh Father, as we come to your table, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, how he died for our sins, but let us also see what he has accomplished, how we are able to come to you and sit at your table and eat and drink with you, have eternal fellowship forever and ever. Oh Father, it is truly joy to trust you and entrust our lives to you. Bless your people. Bless us. Pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.